L&B's audio diary for the 16th. Yes, the 16th of April, 2023. It is a Sunday. How am I doing this? Yeah, there we go. Got to close the windows. Had them open to let the hot air out but in the car because it has been sunny today. Started to get windy now. Not too bad, not bad, but it's a little windier now. But it was sunny all day, still is. Some clouds, fleeting clouds, but nothing you'd be worried about. But yeah, it's been nice. The weather the last few days has been nice. I don't really have any complaints except the nights can be cold still. We had a day the other day that almost got up into the 80s. That very night, the temp was down into the 20s. You know, I wake up the next day to frost on the windshield. But you're sweating during the day. It's that time of year. So, let's see. I have been working fairly steadily on the audio for All He Surveys Volume 1. I am working on Chapter 16 right now, editing that and getting it ready. Coming along okay, I guess. I don't know. I have 17 recorded, so I can jump into that right away as best I can. I have 3 weeks now of regular radio shows on a non-radio. It's, you know, streaming radio over internets. So you could argue it's not really radio because it's not using radio waves. But anyway. So that was Motherlode that I was streaming. Chapters 1, or parts 1, 2, and 3. So now we're getting, this week will be... Street Candles is what we're getting into. Oh, there's a coyote. So I'm looking forward to that, you know. I'm gonna have to record about, because I have an hour to fill, so I'm gonna, and it's not enough time to do Chapter 2 as well. You know, there might be a couple of times that I'll be able to have two chapters in one episode. But I don't know that I'll be able to, well, I won't be able to do it this week. So I will have to figure out a way to fill that time. And I was thinking about talking about the role-playing game because, you know, it's been on my mind, working on it and, you know, really approaching an area where, you know, a time when I can share this with people. I'm not. It's way off from them, but I've been working on it, and there are parts of it I really like right now. Other parts need work, and all of it needs more volume. It needs a setting, right? Because in the end, I found, and I'm not the only one who thinks this. This has come to be a common consensus, but game designers are attracted to the mechanics. Players are attracted to setting, and setting is really what gets people. They want an interesting setting. I think Star Drifter is an interesting setting, but it doesn't seem like it on the surface. On the surface, it seems like every other standard space opera trope. You know, your future time, you've got your different nations, you have your... you know, your corporate state, you have your empire, you know, a theocracy, you know, that sort of stuff. And, that, you know, that's all pretty standard stuff. So how do I make it stand out? I think I have to include some adventures with the basic book. Just starting adventures to get people going. To find out what makes it so interesting. And I think it'll be the adventures that hook me. Or I hope so. You know, because the setting is really just there to allow the stories, the plots, to exist. You know, that's the only reason it's there. it isn't like this fascinating, you know, setting that's gonna, the very setting itself is what makes everything really cool and interesting. That isn't this. That isn't this. And there isn't a really cool hook in the entire storyline. You know, all of Star Drifter. There isn't like a cool hook that can really get you. So I have to think of stuff that will work, right? That will really attract people. Again, I think plot, you know, story and plot is where the focus of Star Drifter, the role-playing game, ought to be. Because that's kind of what makes the stories their, you know, kind of their own thing, right? Instead of just generic space opera stuff. So that's where the role-playing game will have to go, you know, have to be fleshed out, I think. And including a couple of adventures with the basic book might be a good idea. So, but I need a big section on the setting. And I think that's probably something I would do. I think it'd be like a part one is all the rules, part two is the setting, right? And maybe a part three will be adventures. Does that sound reasonable? It sounds reasonable to me. So, yeah, I think I was brainstorming some really short one-shot adventures the other day, and I came up with one or two that seemed like pretty good ideas. I have a couple of ideas for long-term adventures as well, you know, like campaign-style adventures. One is a mercenary thing, one is a rescue. One is a very, very long-term, slow burn, back burner sort of adventure that is one of these things that would be set up that characters do the, you know, you can pursue this thing in your own time. And you don't have to do it all at once because it's not one of those things that's exciting. It's designed so that characters can have their adventures, and then between major adventures, this thing, they can pursue this thing. It's a long-term project that if they put the time in, it'll seem like it's going nowhere for the longest time. But if they are careful and assemble all of the information, the potential payoff is enormous, right? Money-wise. Just absolutely enormous. There will be some parts of it that could be dangerous. Some parts of it could lead to other adventures, you know, and the danger there would be that they get sidetracked. But in the end, it's one of these things that you could set it up early on. It could be like the very first thing you do, explaining to the players that this is a long-term thing. You can do it in your own time. You know, there's no deadline on this, with in-game deadline. You can do it and really take your time. And then at that point, you can kind of take time away from it to do other things, including major campaign stuff. So I think that would be a cool one, maybe to include with other adventures, you know, a couple of one shots, a couple, you know, maybe one or two large campaign adventures, and then this thing. And I think that could be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So yeah, that's the idea. Anyway, that's the idea. I've also thought in terms of how can you start a game at a quote-unquote higher level, right? Because you know it's going to be you want a campaign that maybe focuses a little more on fighting, right? Like your campaign, you want, you know, more or less to be a military style thing. Maybe your characters are all going to be mercenaries. Fighting in this game can be very, very deadly. Armor is your best friend, but even that can fail you and, you know, or let you down, and then you're dead and you don't come back, and that's that. So I think that one way to more or less just bring you in at a higher level is you roll up the character, and normally when you roll up a character, you get four character points. rolling up time, and you can allocate these into new skills, or you can beef up your, you know, skills you already have. You can beef up your hit points, you can beef up your, you know, stamina, your saving throws, or you can save them and use them to modify dice rolls and things of that nature. So a way would be to give you more than 4 character points. You know, if it's going to be like a military style campaign, it might give you 8-10 character points. Really beef you up. Get all the, you know, combat skills you can manage, you know, and maybe a little more money to get extra armor and extra weapons and so. You know, that's how you could manage it. It's very simple. You don't have to worry about figuring out the relative power of, you know, like strength of monsters versus the hit dice of the character. It can be very complicated in some games, trying to balance the power of the characters versus the power of the monsters, so that the characters don't just walk through your monsters and vice versa. So, you know, you don't want your characters all getting killed from because you got the power scaling wrong in a game. So it's easier with Star Drifter because you can see right there how strong your character is with the skills and how many hit points they have and that sort of stuff. Because a character going into a fight, you can then start assuming that they can take a few hits, you know, and it becomes a lot easier to scale that way. I think it is. And then, you know, I could do it in my head, scaling this, you know, pretty easily. You know, if you had, you know, well, I won't break it down right now, but I think it would be fairly simple. You know, if you're passingly familiar with the game system, it would be fairly simple to scale it up or down, whatever you wanted. So anyway, I've been thinking about the game. Ran through a play test with a friend the other day, and that turned out pretty good. Learned a lot, found some trouble spots, but also, it seemed to cook along and seemed to be pretty good. Food for thought on design of the combat system. I was testing combat and armor, and had some food for thought from that, and still thinking about it. Still thinking about it. So anyway, let's see. That's that. Did I see anything else? Yes, I saw Operation Fortune. It's Operation Fortune : and then something in French. I don't know what it is, but it's not a French film. It's an English language film starring Jason Statham and Hugh Grant is in it. It's an action film, and kind of, see, I saw the trailer for it, and the trailer kind of sells it as a comedy, action comedy thing. And throughout the film, you keep waiting for the comedy. And unfortunately, they try a lot of comedy that doesn't connect. You know, it's just not funny, right? Even though it's kind of treated like it's an action comedy. It's just not, it wasn't well written. It was, you know, like the dialogue is kind of not all fantastic. Characterizations aren't great. They made a couple of choices I didn't like in it. Overall, the action is good. The action is good. And if you like Jason Statham and his action scenes, you know, the kind of fighting he does and all that stuff, if you like him, you'll like him in this. You know, I mean, I've never seen him be anything other than Jason Statham, right? You know, he's a one character actor. But if you want that character, he's the guy, right? You know, he's the one you want. And movies built around him are, you know, that's the guy you want, you know? So it's good on that front. Let's see. Hugh Grant was playing a very different role from anybody I've seen him play before. That was interesting to see. I wish he had better dialogue and stuff. It's not a terrible film. It may sound like I'm panning it. It's not a terrible film. But you could see that it could have been better. You know, it's just kind of, I don't know, kind of meh. I guess it's kind of meh. Aubrey Plaza is in it. She was all right, I guess. But again, didn't have anything, you know, the script is just lacking. The script is lacking. So anyway, that was Operation Fortune, and I think they intended it to be a, I don't know, beginning of a series, maybe? But I don't know that it will be. Maybe. You never know. You never know. But, and I'll watch, if they make another one, I'll watch it, but I don't know. It was okay. It was just okay. And, yeah, that's all I've seen recently. Yeah, not much else, frankly. Not much else that, you know, new that I haven't talked about. So, yeah, that's about all I got going on right now. I've, been keeping up with my, scheduling / productivity system. You know, working with it every single day. And it works really well for me. You know, works really well. So it's a combination of just a checklist on the computer and, you know, a mirrored copy of that checklist on index cards that I carry with me. And that way I always have a copy of what I'm supposed to be doing that day. Almost everything that I need to do has to be done at home, but not always. Not always. You know, I have things on there. If I have an obligation somewhere, appointment to keep, I have them listed. And it's been working out, strangely, really, really well. I stand by my earlier statement. I think that a productivity system only works when you're ready to use it. You know, mentally, emotionally, you're ready to use it. And up until now, I was never ready to use one. And I was always trying to make a system that would work for me, but they never did. They either were too much overhead or maybe not enough. I don't know. Or maybe my brain just wasn't in the right place for it. And that's pretty common for me. Pretty common for me. Well, anyway, I'll leave it off here. You know, that's it for today, I guess, because I am at the clinic.